Horeb Baptist Church, a church on the way to God's heart, presents a message for your life. Get ready and take notes, because God wants to speak to you today. And now, Pastor David Rodriguez.
But I want to start by reading in Matthew chapter 24. I'm going to read the whole thing. No, not the whole thing. I'm just going to go. I'll tell you what. I'll go to verse 31. That's what we need to do. So let us start. It is a long, long passage, but this is extremely important. The signs of Christ's return. That is how I have a subtitle in my Bible. And it says, Jesus came out from the temple and was going away when his disciples came up to point out the temple building to him. And he said to them, and now the disciples are like, look, Jesus, look at the temple. Wow. Marveled, right? And he said to them, do you not see all these things? Truly I say to you, not one stone here will be left upon another, which will not be torn down. As he was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us, when will these things happen? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? And Jesus answered and said to them, see to it that no one misleads you. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will mislead many. You will be hearing of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not frightened, for those things must take place, but that is not yet the end. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and in various places there will be famines and earthquakes. But all these things are merely the beginning of birth pangs. Then they will deliver you to tribulation and will kill you, and you will be hated by all nations because of my name. And that time will fail. Many will fail away and will betray one another and hate one another. Many false prophets will arise and will mislead many. Because lawlessness is increased, most people's love will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end, he will be saved. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all of the nations, and then the end will come. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation, which was spoken of through Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, let the reader understand, he said. Then those who are in Judea must flee to the mountains. Whoever is on the housetop must not go down to get things out that are in his house. Whoever is in the field must not turn back to get his cloak. But woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days. But pray that your flight will not be in the winter or on the Sabbath. For then there will be a great tribulation such as has not occurred since the beginning of the world until now, nor ever will. Unless those days have been cut short, no life would have been saved. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be cut short. Then if anyone says to you, behold, here is the Christ, or there he is, do not believe him. For false Christs and false prophets will rise and will show great signs and wonders so as to mislead, if possible, even the elect. Behold, I have told you in advance. So if they say to you, behold, he is in the wilderness, do not go out. Or behold, if he is in the inner rooms, do not believe them. For just as the lightning comes from the east and flashes even to the west, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. Wherever the corpse is, there the vultures will gather. But immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from the sky and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And then the sign of the Son of the Man will appear in the sky, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. And he will send forth his angels with a great trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the sky to the other. Spooky? I hope not. It shouldn't be. Amen. What was that? Glorious. Can't wait. That's the attitude. You see, you done messed up my sermon for next week. Jay, my friend, don't try to help me like that. You see, you're ahead, bro, and that's good. But we're going to talk about that next week, all right? But today we're going to talk about all of these things that maybe some people are like, what in the world is going to go on? Oh, my goodness. You know, I want to share with you a couple of reasons why. Because we're talking about the tribulation. Now, you know what the tribulation is, right? There'll be 7 years of simply all kinds of chaos, destruction, and crazy stuff happening all over the world. And that's going to come. And when is it going to come? I'll tell you what. I don't know. And I hope and pray that I don't even want to know anyway. But we'll see that next week. Let's concentrate on this week. You see, there's two reasons why then the tribulation comes. There's two reasons why the judgment of God, because this is the judgment, right? And number one is to punish the Gentile nations, or to punish basically sinners that don't repent. We see that in the Bible in many ways, right? We can say that God has been trying from the beginning, and he's been going on, and then Noah, and then Abraham, and then Jacob, and then this and that, and the prophets, and so many things that God has done to let them know, hey, I'm coming, and when I come with judgment, you better be ready. God is expecting us to be working with repentance and with faith, because he wants us to be saved. But during the tribulation period, God is going to visit the wickedness of humanity, and he's going to look at the fruit of their sins, and he's going to say, you will be judged. There'll be divine judgment over every single nation on earth. But there's another reason why this tribulation needs to happen, and that is to purge the people of Israel. To purge the people of Israel. If we look in the Bible, and I could give you some references like Ezekiel 20, 37, and 38, or Malachi 3:3, then you can see that the nation of Israel is guilty of rejecting the Messiah, right? I think we all know that. He came forth to his, and they did not acknowledge him, and they rejected him. And then we see that then many are going to die without Jesus, even in Israel, and he's going to purge his people. And there's going to be a bunch of Jewish believers later during the tribulation. But then God is going to use the terrors of the tribulation to prepare the return of his son, Jesus Christ, and to also draw some of those Jewish people that finally will believe in him and are called a remnant, right? You've heard it. They're called a remnant of Israel. Those are the people, the few people of Israel that are going to believe in him. And today I'm going to cover some of this gruesome and ugly material. Not that it's because Halloween coming up, I want to scare you, okay? That is not the reason at all whatsoever, okay? We're just talking about Jesus returning and what's going to happen before he does. And there's a lot of things that are going to be faced or going to happen on this earth that people are going to have to face. And that's what we're going to talk about, okay? So I believe, and you know, there's different interpretations of what is the rapture or no rapture, or when is the rapture going to happen. I, for the most part, believe. I don't have it 100% figured out yet, but I think that we will be lifted up and gone before the tribulation happens. There are some people that say, no, the church is going to be right here, and they're going to go through the tribulation. And mid-tribulation, they're going to be lifted up, because then the great tribulation is going to happen, the second half. Then some other people say, no, the church is going to stay. And when they stay, they're going to stay the whole 7 years of the tribulation, which means 3.5 years of tribulation and 3.5 years of extreme or the great tribulation. And then they're going to be taken with Jesus. And so there's different ways that people interpret this. And personally, I go with we leave before it all goes on. Not because I'm scared and I want to leave, but because that's the evidence that I see for the most part in the Word of God. So therefore, I lean towards we leave here before this all happens. But our hearts need to be stirred anyway. Even if you believe, that doesn't apply to me. All that stuff, I'll be gone. I'll be watching from a cloud. No, but still, you're still here, okay? And all of the things that need to happen to prepare for this time, even if we're not going to be here, then you need to be ready, because a lot of stuff is happening prior to this tribulation. And we need to realize the responsibility that we have and that God has given us while we are still here before this tribulation. And I hope that God is going to use these truths that we're going to talk about in order to help us take action and live out what we're supposed to live. Okay, so number one, I just want you to know how tribulation starts or commences. Okay, how does it start? How does the tribulation start or commences? Okay, I want you to think of this, because Jesus just came from the disciples asking him a bunch of questions, right? The disciples are always asking questions, and he's lamenting over Jerusalem. He's like, what is it with these people? And in chapter 24, they go like, whoa, you know what? We know that things are difficult and stuff, but look at the temple. Like basically telling Jesus, don't worry. Look at this temple we got. That's why you don't have to trust the edifice or the building. Don't trust the building. Trust God. Amen? That's what we need to trust. But Jesus tells his disciple that even the temple will be destroyed. And these men were pretty intrigued to the point where they said, you know what? Come on over. Let's go in private. And we want to ask you, when do you say these things are going to happen and how are they going to happen? And Jesus tells them how some of the events are going to transpire and all these things. But he never tells them when or exactly when and they are going to happen, but he does want them to be mindful. And he even tells them, you guys are going to die, you're going to be persecuted, you're going to be killed. Can you imagine somebody telling you that? Somebody coming over to you right after the service and saying, brother, and God just told me, you're going to be killed. You know that? Can you imagine leaving this place and saying, praise Jesus, oh Jesus, I want a moment with you. And Jesus said, yeah, I want a moment with you too. By the way, you're going to die. Real quick, real bad. They're going to kill you. Somebody going to kill you. You're going to be smacked around it. Oh, my God, no. It's not the kind of communion you want to have with God, huh? But guess what? Stuff is coming, and we need to be ready. And he's telling his disciples that. And we want you to understand that a lot of the things that Jesus said there may apply directly to the disciples or to the time when they were living. And some of it applies to Israel as a nation and his plan for Israel. But a lot of that stuff also has to do with us. What do we do with all these things? Even if it's not directly affecting us, what can we gain or what can we take as truth on for us as a church, okay? So I want you to think of a few things. Number one, spiritual deception by the Antichrist and the false prophet. Spiritual deception by the Antichrist and the false prophet. If you look in, verse 13? Oh, in Revelation 13, you'll see that. It talks about the Antichrist. It talks about him and, my goodness, let me go there for a second. Revelation 13. I hate to be jumping up and down and taking you all about, but I'm going to go to Revelation 13 for a second because there's a lot of stuff. Man, a lot of stuff. You see, it talks about in chapter 13 about a dragon that was standing over the sand of the sea, and he would come up and down, and he had 10 horns and 7 heads, and it's crazy. The beast, it was similar to a leopard, and it was a dragon. You see the description there. So there's a dragon. There's the Antichrist being described there as somebody who is powerful. 7 heads, 10 diadems. I mean, this guy is something else, okay? But they will be a deceiver. And remember what Jesus said in verse 5 and in verse 11. There will be a lot of deceivers that will come and say, hey, the Christ is here. Hey, the Christ is there. Hey, guess what? Christ is over there. It's like playing hide and seek. Where is Christ instead of where's Waldo? You know? It's like, where is he? And everybody's looking for him. And everybody wants to know. And people are going to be talking about these kind of things. However, there's none that's going to compare to the Antichrist when he comes and the false prophet. These two guys are really, really, really bad. They're two just simply bad guys from hell. And they will be deceiving all kinds of people. And people will be believing in them because they will claim themselves literally to be gods. And they will claim worship. They'll say, you need to worship us. This is going to be a spiritual time in the tribulation where there's going to be a lot of deception. There's going to be a lot of deception. And one of the great tools that the Antichrist is going to use to deceive the world is that he's going to be ushering a time of peace. Have you ever heard about that? In Daniel chapter 8 and verse 25 and in Revelation 6:2. Okay. And though his shrewdness will cause deceit to succeed by his influence, and he will magnify himself in his heart, and he will destroy many while they are at ease. He will even oppose the prince of princes, meaning Jesus, right? But he will be broken without human agency. Now let's look at Revelation 6:2 for a second. Revelation 6:2 says, I looked and behold a white horse, and he who sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he went out conquering to conquer. Now this is the Antichrist whom is spoken of in chapter 24 by Jesus. He's saying, you know what? There's going to be spiritual deception. So there's going to be a lot of people being deceived, spiritually speaking. But also there's going to be social devastation. Not only spiritual deception, but also social devastation. And this social devastation is going to be marked by a few things that I put here. There's five things that Jesus mentions in this place. Notice that he gives us some pictures of all these disruptions, right? Social devastation that's going to be so great. There's going to be wars, nation against nation. I put some Bible references there for you to carry with you and know where I'm talking about. But there's going to be wars and rumors of wars, Jesus said. There's going to be devastation by wars. And this is made clear in Revelation 6:4 when it talks about the rider on the red horse, which means war. You see, there'll be an increase on the hate for Israel. Have you seen that lately? Oh my God, let's talk about ISIS. What do? They want to utterly destroy Israel, period. They even deny the existence of Israel. In their minds, they're like, they don't exist. They're nothing. They've never been and they never are and they never will be. The Holocaust, that is a myth. That is just a tale. They do not exist in our minds. That's there against the Jewish people. We see that in Daniel chapter 7 in verse 25, referring to this. He will speak out against the Most High and wear down the saints of the Highest One, and he will intend to make alterations in times and in law, and they will be given unto his heart for a time, times and a half, and a half time. So here we go. He's talking about he's going to take over. He's going to promise them a peace that he can't give, but people will believe him, and he will take over. The world's political scene is going to become so bad. I mean, it's already unstable, isn't it? Nations like Iran having the capability of nuclear weapons, and we're signing off on that and giving it to them. And by the way, we gave them money too. Gosh! Then North Korea, what do you think they're trying to do? Chaos and destruction. The economic pressure that we have around in the world right now, forcing all kinds of countries and into gathering resources so that they can survive and fight against one another. You see, when we look at the threat of ISIS, this is so marked and increased lately. And it's clear that all of Israel's neighbors don't want to love their neighbor. They hate their neighbor. They want their destruction. You can see it later in Ezekiel chapter 38 and 39. Both chapters, if you read those, it seemed to indicate that Russia, when you look at Russia being involved, and when you read Ezekiel 38 and 39, you will notice that Russia is the country that is involved in trying to destroy Israel. Right now, it doesn't look like it. Russia right now looks like a dormant giant, right? They're just like kind of taking a nap. But they're very aware. And God knows what they're going to end up doing. So Russia is involved in the end times and trying to attack Israel. Believe it or not, you'll see that. And also, in the Bible, you'll see North Korea and Iran. Those three countries are going to wreak havoc. Guess what's happening with North Korea and Iran and Russia right now, right? Russia right now owns what? 1/5 of our uranium? Yeah, we just gave it to them too. We'll just sign it off. Let the Russians have it. Let them have it. Remember that commercial? If you're from New Orleans, you know what I'm talking about. Who say, I say, I say? Frankie and Johnny's. Oh my God. New Orleans classic, right? I can't figure that. Let them have it. Oh my God. Well, that's what we're saying. Let them have it. Let Iran have it. Let them have it. Let everybody have it. See, we're such a great nation, we like to share. Goodness gracious. Also, this is going to be marked by desperation, by famine. According to these verses, when you look in verse 7, it says it's going to be a famine. You know, people are going to be hungry. There's not going to be enough food for everyone. Revelation chapter 6, verses 5 and 6 will show us, and we can see that there's, it's going to be crazy. Look at Revelation 6, verses 5 and 6 for a second. When he broke the third seal, I heard the third living creature saying, "Come." I looked, and behold, a black horse, and he who sat on it had a pair of scales in his hands. You know, scales, like weighing scales. And I heard something like a voice in the center of the four living creatures saying, "A quart of wheat for a denarius, and three quarts of barley for a denarius. And do not damage the oil and the wine." You see, I've read this from a man who... Jerry Vines, Pastor Jerry Vines, who used to be the pastor of First Baptist Jacksonville, Florida. He's retired now. But he spoke about this in terms of you thinking that a denarius was a day's wage, okay? So it was the pay for one day. And you could purchase eight measures of wheat and 24 measures of barley. And in other words, basically, now the food supply is going to be down to one-eighth of what it normally is. Can you imagine going to the supermarket tomorrow, going to Walmart, and only finding one-eighth of the stuff that you normally buy? That means you take your groceries and you part them in eight groups, or you part them in eight bundles, and you take seven bundles out and you only get pick one bundle. That's all you take. Like what's happening with the hurricanes in places where you can't find food, or they're charging you $36 for a case of water, which is probably, what, eight times or nine times more than it's supposed to. It's amazing. It's crazy, right? So this is what's going to happen. We're gonna face those food shortages and stuff on earth. And I want to tell you, one person dies from starvation or any related disease to starvation every second of every day. Can you think about that? One, two, three, four, five. Five people dead of starvation right there in just those 5 seconds. That translates to 86,400 per day, 2,592 per month, 31,104,000 each year. Wow, 75% of those who die are infants and children below the age of five. That's a lot of people dying, and their children too. Now also, this will be marked by pestilence, diseases by pestilence. And when you look also in Revelation chapter 6 and verse 8, it talks about, once again, people, I looked and behold an ashen horse, and who sat on it had the name Death, and Hades was following with him. Authority was given to them over a fourth of the earth to kill with sword and with famine and with pestilence and by wild beasts of the earth. Think about it. There's no food. Even the beasts are going to be looking for food. Something they have to eat. Everybody's going to want to eat. It's going to be really gruesome. One-fourth of the population, 25% of the population on earth, will be dead just like that because of hunger and all this pestilence and people getting sick. This is amazing when you think that we have about 7 billion people on earth. That's more than 80 billion people dying in one shot. Can you imagine the scene? Can you imagine that? Actually, we're talking about over 1.5 billion people dying, not just over 80 million. 1.5 billion or more dead. Can you imagine how many caskets and how many bags are going to be needed? Can you imagine how we're going to bury all those people? How is that going to happen? You know, it's going to be such a gruesome, the stench, the sickness, pestilence all over. That's what's going to happen. It's also going to be marked by disasters and earthquakes and hurricanes. I don't need to talk much about that because we already started seeing some of those things. I mean, we've seen a dramatic increase in earthquakes in places that have never had earthquakes before. And it's just simply setting up for the future tribulation to come. But also this will be a disobedience by wickedness in all kinds of forms. And we see it already. Jesus is saying that this time is going to be marked by the wickedness of men in verse 10 and in verse 12 right there of Matthew chapter 24. You see, there's going to be such disregard for the sanctity of life and for the purity of life and relationships and everywhere. Can you think of what's going on nowadays? People hate each other. They betray each other. It doesn't take much to just get in a car and trample and run over a bunch of people, or just grab a gun and go to a hotel room and just start shooting at anybody and everybody that you can. It's amazing. It's just crazy what's going on. And so many people will die. And then you think about the babies that are dying. Over 55 million unborn children every year. That's too much. Then the wickedness. It's just the love for sin. You know, after the church is removed from earth and gone with Jesus, there's not going to be a presence of anyone praying for the world. There's not going to be the presence of the Holy Spirit indwelling people and working through and for and by them. There's not going to be any of that. Can you imagine this world without the presence of the Holy Spirit or Jesus, period? That's what's going to happen. Again, you see, when we think about it, we live in a nation where 85%, check this out, United States of America, 85%, I think that number has gone down in the past few years because these are probably statistics from about 5 or 6 years, but 85% used to claim in the United States to be Christian. 85%. Wow, how can that be true when 62% of Americans deny that Scripture is perfect and they say that there's mistakes or errors in it? How can it be when 75% of Americans do not believe that there is actually a devil, that Satan exists, or that it is actually a person or an angel fallen? How can it be when pornography earns, check this out, pornography industry, and this is a recent statistic, $97 billion a year. $97 billion a year. That's more than enough to pay the whole debt of a country called Puerto Rico. Wow! And that's just $97 billion. United States, $14 billion a year in pornography. That's not counting all the free porn that's out there. Wow, this is way too much. A porn site called Pornhub, don't go there. Last year in 2016, got 23 million visits. You know how that translates? 729 people per second. Almost 800 people going online and looking at this website alone every second. 64 million people a day. This is way too much. 1.5 million unborn babies aborted because of convenience. I don't know. Divorce. Actually, the good news is that they're proclaiming out that divorce is going down. Did you know that divorce was actually only 52% of marriages actually succeeded? And that's outside the church. You know what was the percentage in the church? The same! 52% of marriages. That's it. That's a success rate. That means half of y'all won't be divorced at some point. That's bad. And then to make it, but things are getting better because those statistics are going down. Really getting better? You know why? Because people are shacking up. They're not getting married. How can you get divorced if you don't get married? So, divorce statistics. Divorce is going down, but shacking up is going up. We just mess it up however we look at it anyway. These are the signs that are manifesting, and we'll keep continue. But now, that was the start. That was just how it's going to start. We already seen all this stuff, right? And let me tell you, we're only seeing like the tip of the iceberg of all these things happening. We'll just see in a little bit. It's going to intensify. It's going to get really bad. But then that was just a commencing of the tribulation. Now let's look at the continuation of the tribulation. Let's get a little bit deeper. This is when it gets there in these 7 years. I want to try to get through this as quick as possible, which doesn't look very easy. But there will be treacherous days. Treacherous days. I mean, and we're talking about, when you look at verse 15, where is it? Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation, which was spoken of through Daniel, the prophet, standing in the holy place, what is the abomination of desolation? This is something that was prophesied in Daniel 9:27. This is the fulfillment. Jesus is talking about the fulfillment of this prophecy. And he will make a firm covenant with the many, with the many, with the many, with many, many, many for 1 week. But in the middle of the week, he will put a stop to sacrifice and grain offering. This week means 7 years, okay? The tribulation. You see, at halfway point, he's going to do something really crazy. And on the wing of abominations will come come one who makes desolate, even until a complete destruction. On that is decreed, is poured out on the one who makes desolate. Now, I know it sounds crazy there, but let's just talk about it in simple terms. You see, the temple will be rebuilt. The Israelites will rebuild their temple. And once it's rebuilt, they will rebuild it like they know that there's going to be a holy place and a holy of holies with the ark and everything, and only the high priest can go in there once a year. They're going to try to make it exactly the way it was in the Old Testament. And this guy's going to come, and after he proposes peace and he's ruling over many, halfway through the tribulation, he's going to go into the Holy of Holies, and it's said that he's going to put a statue in there, and then he's going to do a sacrifice in there, which some people even say he's going to sacrifice a pig, because that's the worst that a Jew could have, is a pig near them. But whatever it is, or an unblemished animal, he's going to say, you know what, I am God, and I'm going to do this sacrifice myself, and I'm going to do whatever I want. So this is, oh my goodness, he's going to demand that the whole wide world will worship him. And you know what? This will happen. Revelation chapter 13, you can read it later. And it says that many, many will worship him. What motivates so many people to give worship to this madman? I don't know. The Antichrist will be assassinated. That's why. You see, this is the great thing about this guy. Everybody's going to believe him. You know why? Because he's going to be assassinated, and he's going to get back up. He's going to resurrect. So therefore, many will be like, whoa, this has got to be the one. That's how many people will believe in him. Revelation chapter 13, verses 3 and verse 14. Revelation 13, 3 and 14. He will die and he will be resurrected. He'll come back to life while the whole wide world is watching. This will probably be on YouTube. Wow. This is way too crazy. No wonder so many will fall at his feet. You see, there's a difference. It's just ironic, because Jesus comes to offer eternal life and the Antichrist comes to offer prosperity. And guess what? People die in order to have prosperity. People are not worried about eternal life. They're worried about money and having more and power, position, and possessions. That's all they care about. It will be a time in which he will even institute the mark of the beast. See, it's all about selling and buying. It's all about having. But before this can be happening, the temple has to be reconstructed or rebuilt and all that. And we haven't seen that, but they're getting ready for that. So it'd be treacherous. I mean, it'd be traitor. He's a traitor anyway. Now, terrifying days. Persecution and pain will be rampant. It's just crazy. You remember when he said half through the week, you know, 3.5 years is bad. The other 3.5 will be really bad, the worst that it could be. Even Jesus said that this tribulation will be the worst that the earth has ever seen, and there will be none like it. So you see, a lot of the Jewish people might have thought, well, Jesus must be talking about the destruction of the temple and the destruction of Jerusalem. Because I want you to remember that these books were written just about that time, very close to the destruction. And then when you look at Revelation, the book of Revelation was written later. It was written probably about 20 years after the city had been destroyed already. So they, when you think about that, if Revelation was written after, and then there's got to be something to be said here, because it can't be what had happened. You see, you can't just come and say, this is the revelation of the end. You see, what happened was, no. You can't talk about future in the past, or about, you can't make the, I don't know, back to the future, let's just say. You can't do that. Revelation was written after, therefore these things will happen after. And there'll be none like it. And the greatest and the worst tribulation that could ever be is going to be the 7-year tribulation. So therefore, we're talking about the end times. It's not the end of Jerusalem. It's the end of the world. And this is something that we need to understand. For them, that was difficult to understand and to see. But there will be intense persecution. We've seen some of that around the world. It's just that we here in America, our blessed country, oh my God, we live in such ease. We live, I mean, we got it made. And we barely even hear what's going on around halfway around the world, when people are being persecuted, killed, and decapitated, and just tortured because they believe the same thing you believe, that you so freely have. And then to make it even worse, they die because they're committed to Christ. And here in the United States, it's a halfway commitment with God. If I have time, I will go, Pastor. If I have time, I will serve. Well, guess what? Time is running out. We need to understand. This is just way too much. In fact, you know, the goal of this madman is to totally destroy the people of God. And you see that in Revelation chapter 12, the destruction of the people of God. When you look at, here's another thing. Revelation chapter 12 became pretty famous these days because you've heard about the September 23rd, where it was supposed to end. Did you hear about that? Did you hear about that? Oh, my God. You see, because the stars were lining up, right? Right? And the woman, the Bible talks about a woman. And he says the woman, and it talks about the dragon being near her. It talks about having a crown and this and that. And guess what? Up in the stars, the constellation of Virgo, which means virgin, lined up. And above it, there's a lion, and the shape is about a crown. Leo. And then the dragon is close. And then the moon on September 23rd or Jupiter, it's Jupiter, the planet Jupiter, that's what it was, I'm sorry, I forgot, oh my goodness, see, the planet Jupiter was supposed to go, and on by September 22nd, Jupiter's going to be right in the middle of Virgo's belly, Jupiter, and of course, Jupiter represents the God, Jesus, because he is the Almighty. See, Jupiter is the biggest god there is in mythology, right? And then on September 23rd, Jupiter goes bloop and falls off the belly between the legs of Virgo. So she gives birth to Jupiter. That means that on September 23rd, 2017, Jesus came. You missed it. That's the kind of stuff we're hearing out there. Oh man, it just, I have so much fun with that kind of stuff. I laugh, but we got to take this stuff serious because people are being deceived. And you know what? Maybe it is a sign, all of those stars in the heaven lining up and doing all that, maybe it is a sign it's going to happen, but it didn't happen yet. So who knows when? Whenever somebody puts a date to stuff, don't believe it. Anyway, and then you have other stuff with the 144,000 Jews, and they'll be preaching throughout this time of tribulation, and they'll be spared, but it's going to be very difficult. It's going to be very trying for anyone. Many Israelites will die. Some of them will follow the Antichrist, but there'll be a remnant that will be saved, okay? Also, there'll be intense pain, of course, with all of this. Who wouldn't be in pain? There will be some judgments, and I want to talk about those judgments because this is very important, and I promise you, I'm going to run through this, so be careful, watch out, because the 7 trumpets are coming. Da-da-da-da. Okay? All right, so let's talk about the 7 trumpets for a second. Let me see if I can get them right. I got a lot of stuff here, and I want to make sure you get the best of it. All right? Very good. Let's do this. So the trumpet judgments. Let's talk about that. Let's take a few minutes and finish that up. In Revelation chapter 8, Revelation chapter 8, we'll start in verse 7. And it goes all the way through, you know, like Revelation 8, Revelation 9, Revelation 11. So it's a lot. We're not going to read all that or do anything like that. But the first trumpet sounded, and there came hail and fire mixed with blood, and they were thrown to the earth, and the third of the earth was burned up, and a third of the trees were burned up, and all of the green grass was burned up. Did you see that? This means that one third of green vegetation on earth is destroyed. One third of all green vegetation destroyed. Then the second trumpet goes on, and then one third of the oceans become blood, and one third of life at sea is destroyed. One third of the world's ships are destroyed. So anything that's in the water, life at sea, the oceans turn to blood, and all the ships at sea, one third of them will be destroyed. Imagine the impact that's going to have on the world moving food around when one third of the ships will be sunk and lost. Imagine that. Then the third trumpet comes on, and one third of the fresh water is polluted. That was just the ocean. Now it's the fresh water. You know what that means? What are we going to drink? Pepsi or Coke? Even that can't be made because they need water for that junk. Oh, man, but it tastes good. Anyway. So, and what it talks about is from the sky, something will fall. This could be a bomb with chemicals. This could be a meteor. But it's going to strike all of the fresh water in the world. And one third of it will be polluted. Now, look at the fourth trumpet. What's going to happen? The fourth trumpet is going to be the sun and the stars are going to be darkened. And, I mean, by one third. So everything will be by one third diminished. This is going to be pretty bad. In Revelation chapter 8 and 9 and 11. The fifth trumpet. The earth is invaded by an army of demons from the pits of hell. Can you imagine that? An army of demons comes up to earth. And they just wreak havoc. They start tormenting people. And then the sixth trumpet. One third of human population destroyed. You see that? Millions, billions of people destroyed and dead because there's going to be a demonic invasion of an army of more than 200 million demons. Man, this is crazy. This is crazy. That's in Revelation chapter 9. The results will be that one third of the population will be gone. And then, of course, when you look at the seals also and all the judgments of the seals, that means that by then half of the population of earth will be dead. Half of it will be dead, okay? Let's see. Now, out of that, then comes the seventh trumpet. And the seventh trumpet, what it does, it also announces the seven bowls. So the seventh trumpet opens, seven bowls are now open. Now, let's look at those real quick. The first cup or the first bowl is like some sores that are poured out on mankind. This is Revelation chapter 16. The bowls, they start in Revelation 16. Now, cancerous sores. You know, this is bad. On the second bowl, the waters of the sea are turned to blood and every creature in the sea dies. You see that? First it was one third of it. Now it's the whole population of the sea is dead. And then the next bowl, the third one, the fresh waters of the earth are turned to blood once again. All right, the fourth bowl, the sun's heat is intensified and men's bodies are burned up by heat of the sun. Now, talk about torment. Talk about hell on earth for real if they do not repent. On the fifth bowl, the plagues, they bring darkness and intense pain to every inhabitant of the earth. I mean, this is going to be so intense for those who refuse to repent. Then the sixth bowl, the Euphrates River is dried up, preparing the path for the nations of earth to descend upon Israel in the final conflict. Basically, that's when the Russians and all of that are going to go after Israel. And then the last one, the last bowl, the greatest earthquake and hailstorm ever. Cataclysmic event. This is going to be an earthquake of such magnitude that it says that the islands of the sea will sink and all of the mountains of earth will fall down. On top of this, every single major city on earth will be destroyed. Wow. And the hailstone, the way it's described there, it means that 125-pound hail balls falling on earth. You thought quarter size was bad. You thought golf size was bad. You thought orange size was bad. Talk about 125 pounds of ice. I don't think anybody's going to be singing Ice, Ice Baby. It's going to be pretty bad. It's going to be pretty bad. I'm sorry. This is just a portion. My description of this doesn't even do it justice of the tribulation. Unspeakable horrors and trials is just going to be so bad. There'll be so many people that will be deceived. Humanity will be crying out for the peace that Jesus had offered from the beginning. It's going to be intense. John 14, 6. Jesus said to him, I am the way and I am the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. He offered it. He said, you want to make it? You come through me. You come through me. There'll be signs in heaven surrounding the return of Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but I remember the tales when I was a kid of people talking about Jesus is coming soon. And the moon gets red, and the moon this and that, and the signs and all that. When I was a kid, I used to get spooked out by that stuff. Like, what in the world they're talking about? But once I learned the truth, I am no longer in fear, but I rejoice, Jay. We rejoice in knowing that our Lord will be coming back. This is a reminder that he's coming soon, and he's coming for you and me. See, I want to finish with verse 22. Unless those days had been cut short, no life would have been saved. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be cut short. There is hope. See that? There is hope. He always offers. This is just temporary. Habakkuk 3:2 says, Lord, I have heard and report about you, and I fear. O Lord, revive your work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make it known. In wrath, remember mercy. And even in his wrath, he has been merciful. And he will accomplish his purposes. And he will deal with every single person according to his righteous judgment. Jesus is coming soon. The end is very near.
Horeb Baptist Church, a church on the way to God's heart, presented a message for your life. If this message has been an impact to your life, or you would like more information of previous sermons and information about our church, contact us at www.horebnola.com.